Well, I have to tell you that this morning or this week, as I was getting ready to preach a Thanksgiving message, I was very excited about this one. Not necessarily the typical Thanksgiving message. Typically you just find a passage on Thanksgiving, teach that, or maybe talk about Thanksgiving from one perspective or another. But I really wanted to come up with a theology of Thanksgiving, and I thought that would have been neat, or thought that will be neat. Hopefully I did that. And I saw it on Thursday morning, got up early and got to the office, and I sought to understand this, and I thought for sure there would be one book out there that's called The Theology of Thanksgiving, right? Oh, it just doesn't exist. And then there is one book out there that I don't have, so I couldn't get a hold of that. And there just wasn't anything really out there that I could get my hands on. And I'm researching and studying, just going everywhere. And then finally I realized, well, it's just something I'm going to have to create. So I said, fine. I started putting it together. And Thursday turned to Friday. Friday turned to Saturday. And I'm on Friday, my sermon's supposed to be done. And then Saturday morning, I get up and I polish all the edges and I send it to Celeste. She prints it out and, we're good. And I was finishing the outline, or finishing message Saturday afternoon. And Saturday, I sat down with the family and I was just kind of frustrated. And we barbecued a brisket all day. So that was fun part of Saturday. But I sat down, I was kind of frustrated because I just had a bunch of pieces, just a bunch of bits and pieces. And it just, it just seemed like just going to be overwhelming. So anyway, I feel like this is a great topic. I really feel like this is something that we should spend a lot of time on, incredibly transforming in my life. I feel also it's a little half-baked. So I hopefully you're encouraged from it. Hopefully you get out of it what I've gotten out of it, and hopefully you're blessed through it. But I prayed hard. God seemed to give me wisdom, and hopefully we kind of baked it a little bit in the ninth hour. But hopefully this works out. But just want you to know that it was transforming to me. Hopefully it's encouraging to you as well. Well, as I thought about how to introduce the topic to you, I thought about an experience that I'm sure all of us have had, that is facing someone that is not grateful for what we've done. Has anybody ever had that? No. And don't look at your spouse. But we've all had that experience, I think, that there's somebody or something that we've worked really hard for. We've done, just been over backwards, right? I mean, just did everything we possibly could, did far more than we should have done, and we really, we're really kind of proud of what we did. I did all this work, and I did all this for you, and you didn't even deserve it. I just did it for you. And then the person, when they received your work, is beautiful as you thought it was, looked at it and kind of, And you know, you've experienced that, right? I mean, it kind of, thanks, I guess. Maybe their expectations were higher. Maybe they wanted you to do more. Maybe they felt a bit entitled. Whatever the case might be, they didn't receive it well at all. They didn't see the amount of hours you put in there. Question is today, what causes us to be unappreciative like that? And I know there's no one in this room that has ever been on the other side of that where you've been unappreciative, but we've all faced that. I guess the question today is, okay, well, we understand that people are unappreciative, and from times we're unappreciative, but what about with God? Are we ever unappreciative of God? Is there ever times in our lives where we really don't see what God is doing, and we don't appreciate what he's doing, even if he is doing it? I give a couple examples of this, some things that you might be able to relate to. Say, for instance, you're running late to a meeting or to an appointment or something where you're supposed to be, and it's totally your fault. And you're running late, and you know, you're trying to get there as fast as you can, and then you get a flat. And what's the first thing you do? Get mad at whom? God. Well, God, why did you do this to me? What did I do? He's thinking. Right? And why is it that we're so mad at him? Because we had this plan, what we thought he should do, and he didn't do it. Or maybe we're mad, or maybe it's hard to appreciate God because, you know, life just didn't work out the way that we thought it should work out. You know, I mean, maybe you didn't like the way he made you. You know, he wanted, you know, not everybody was born with red hair and from Texas, right? You know, I can understand. No, but maybe you're tall and you wanted to be short. You know, maybe you're short and you wanted to be tall. Maybe you didn't like the fact that the color of your hair, you didn't like that, and maybe it's too straight or it's too curly. Or maybe you wonder why God caused you or didn't make you smarter, or maybe you're upset that he made you too smart. Maybe you wonder why you're not as athletic, or maybe you're upset at God because you're too athletic. And we just go on and on and on as we look at all these things in life, and we say, you know, God, I'm not appreciative of that. Well, this morning we're going to look and try to understand two things. Number one, why it's so hard to see the goodness of God. Why it's so hard to appreciate what God is doing in our life. And I think that's difficult for all of us. And then number two, understanding the power, the joy, the greatness that can be found in thanking God. It's a power like none other. I think once we understand it, it'll be something that'll encourage you as a believer and encourage you wherever you are right now as well. Amen? All right, well, this is a topical message, so we're not going to be reading one verse. We're going to be reading many verses. But mainly, 2 points in our outline. I know you're looking at your outline and said, Pastor, you're never going to get through with that. I promise I will get through it. It just looks a lot worse than it is. Some of these, it'll only take me 30 minutes per point. No, I will just spend a 30 seconds or so on some of them. So we'll get through it pretty quick. Did I say pretty quick? We'll get through it. How about that? Dick like that. All right, the first point that we're going to get to is thanksgiving to God to be explained, thankfulness to God explained. Now, I'd like to look at the first issue that we brought up, is why is it that it's so hard to be thankful to God? I mean, that's a great point, isn't it? I mean, why is it that I find myself always disgruntled with what God has given me? You know, why is it that I blamed him for the flat tire? Why is it that I didn't like the way that he created me as far as some, I mean, maybe I'm not smart enough, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not that enough. Why is it that we struggle with being thankful and being appreciative to God? Well, I think there are two reasons that causes us to struggle with being appreciative and thankful to God. The first one is that we feel like we know better than God, don't we? We feel like we know better than God. Our plan is better than God's plan. Now, have you ever played chess and kind of gotten lost in the game? I've played once or twice, and I'm by no means any good at it. But when you play chess, part of chess is that you're making these moves. In really, the move you made was not really the point, was it? But you're setting yourself up for maybe 3 or 5 or even 10 moves from now because you think ahead of yourself. And it's a game of chess, right? You're trying to prepare yourself, get yourself ready. You're moving these things around so that you will have this person in the right place to work. I really know nothing about chess, but that's all I know. In the same way it is with God. God in our life is working through us, and he's doing these things like chess that we have no idea what he's doing, kind of like Paul. Paul was praying for God to remove the thorn in his flesh, like all of you remember, and God said what? No. Yeah, he said, my grace is sufficient. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Because God knew that this thorn in the flesh was part of the master plan to get him to exactly where he needed to be. We can't see that in our lives. See, we look and we think what's good and what's best for us, and we see what God's doing, and we're saying, God, you just don't know. I mean, this is not good for me to have to go through this. I mean, it's not good for me to go to this. It's not good that this happened. It's not good that that happened. God, that's not good at all. You must not. And then we go there, right? Well, you must not love me, right? You must not love me as well as you love someone else, because look at their life. They don't have these things. And I have these things because you don't love me, is what goes through our mind. And because we don't and can't see God's will, we don't appreciate what he's doing, because he is working this master plan, and he's working this, you know, moving us around in a journey so that he can get us exactly where he wants us. But we don't appreciate that because we think we know what best. Not that any of you would feel that way, but I feel that way from time to time. So one of the reasons that we have a hard time with just appreciating what God is doing is because I think I know best. And I think he has done me wrong and he's not doing right. Another reason why I don't appreciate what God's doing is because I think I've done it. Have you ever felt that way? And I do this all the time. I go to God in desperation, and I pray, and I really seek God's face, and then he does this great thing in my life. And however he blesses me, he starts working. And then as he's blessing me through this prayer that I sought from being on my knees because I was broken, realizing I can't do it, then I start taking credit for that. Have you ever done that? Yeah, you start thinking, yeah, I'm not so bad. Yeah, I can kind of do things. And I start looking at what God did through my humility and brokenness, realizing I can't do it. And then I start taking credit for that. And as I start taking credit for that in my mind, and I don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to take credit for what God's doing. It's just a natural response. That's just the flesh in me. It just does that. And I start taking credit for it. And then when I start taking credit for it, I forget who did it. And I forget that it was God that was doing this beautiful work in my life. So all of these great things that God is doing all around me, I have a hard time seeing because, number one, I think I did them myself. And number two, I'm so focused on what I want in life, of the, you know, the little myopic thing that I want, I miss all the greatness that God is doing. Amen? That ever happened to you? And that's kind of the reason that we all kind of struggle with that. And that is a problem that all of us have. David is a really good example of that. You turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. David is a really good example of this as Samuel was talking to David about his sin with Bathsheba, and you know the story. And he was going on about, you know, this figurative statement or this figurative person about how they did this evil, and David was just felt injustice over this figurative story that Samuel was talking about. And then David said, well, who is this guy? As to say, well, let's kill him, off with his head. And this is where we find the story. Or I said Samuel, I meant Nathan. We find the story with Nathan. Then said this to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord of Israel. And then he goes on and he says, this is what God says about your sin. So as he looks at David and describes the reason he was unfaithful and sinned with Bathsheba, he said, the reason you did this, and listen to the story, it's going to be amazing, is because you weren't thankful. Interesting statement. He says, the reason you did this is because you weren't thankful. You were desiring something else, and your desires weren't fulfilled in thanksgiving. So he goes on to this, and he says, the Lord God of Israel says this. He says, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. Also, I gave you your master's house, and I gave your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if it had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. He's saying, look, I gave you everything, David. God is talking to David. He says, look at all these great things I gave you. I made a shepherd the king of Israel. You're not happy with that? I helped you conquer over Saul and all that was going on with that. I gave you, you know, all that you had in Israel, and I gave you all these things. And he said, and if it wasn't enough, I would have even given you more. But yet you were not fulfilled. You did not find pleasure. You were not content in the things I gave you. You wanted more. It's interesting, isn't it? That's just an interesting indictment to David, and even an interesting indictment to us. Why do we sin? Because we don't realize, we don't remind ourselves of all that God has done for us. And as soon as we start reminding ourselves of the greatness of God, and we fill up with that, right? We get fulfilled, we get satisfied with what God has given us, and we really don't want anything else. But in order for that to happen, we have to be thankful. Does that make sense? For us to be fulfilled, we have to be thankful. So first point in this is understanding that why we have this desire, because we are too myopic. We're looking at what we want. We're not looking at anything else. And the solution to that is found in being thankful. The solution to not being thankful, listen to this, is found in being thankful. Being thankful has its own intrinsic power, its own intrinsic ability to change us from the inside out. So it'd be kind of neat. Hopefully you'll appreciate this as we get into it a little bit more. Before I can explain that thoroughly, let me explain a little bit about the Greek word group that the word thanksgiving comes from. It comes from the word eucharizeo, which means three things. It means praise, it means blessing, or it means thanksgiving. So that one word can mean three things, and this is important to understand thanksgiving. So the one word can mean praise. If it's directed towards the attributes of God, then that's praise, right? If it's directed towards what God can give us, what God, you know, asking God to do things for us, that's blessings. But if it's directed towards what he's done for us, then that is what? Thanksgiving. So as it's directed toward what's done for us, then that is thanksgiving. Now, I need you to understand that, because I want you to see the power found in thanksgiving. And the power found in thanksgiving is the same power found in praise and adoration, because that's the root of the word. The root of the word is the same thing as praise, adoration, and giving thanks. It's all really from the same root word. And we understand about praise, don't we? We've talked about this a lot. We understand that sanctification comes from setting our mind on the Word of God, right? As you're a believer, as you put your faith in God, as we set our mind on the Word of God, then that transforms us, right? And we understand that transformation is found as we set our mind upon Christ. I'll go through some of these verses that you'll hopefully encourage you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." In verse 19, that you may be filled up for the fullness of God. We understand that sanctification comes by filling our minds up with Christ, by reminding ourselves about the greatness of His love, right? And the more we think about the greatness of God's love, the more that endears us within. We understand these. I'm just wanting to refresh your mind. We understand that in Colossians 2, or Colossians 3, we talked about this in Bible study probably about 2 years ago. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind on the things above, not the things of this earth. Colossians 3, 15 through 16, set the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ rule in richly. These are things that we're supposed to do. And then John 17, 17 says, the word of God, let the word of God sanctify you. It's the word of truth that sanctifies us. So as we set our minds on these things, then these things start to change us from the inside out. These things start to produce stuff in our life. It's the mirror that we talked about. You know, as I reflect on the word of God, the word of God reflects back on me and changes me. But I have to reflect on the Word, right? That's what I have to do. If I'm not reflecting on the Word, there's nothing reflecting back into me, and there's no change happening. So I have to read the Word, right? We're understanding that. What part of the Word that we need to read? Okay, well, we need to praise Him, talk about His love and all these things. Also, the same way, thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. As we give thanks to God, as we're reminding ourselves of all the things He has done, then He is transforming us through the power of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an amazing thing. I mean, it does kind of a bunch of things. One thing is it's a litmus test. It reveals when our heart has walked away from God. How is that? Because we're no longer being thankful. So we can use that as a litmus test, right? And then also, it's not just a litmus test, but it has its own intrinsic power. Now, we're not talking about just being thankful. That's not the same thing. I mean, just being thankful to Clark for doing what he does, well, that's not transforming. That's proper. It's right. It's not transforming. What's transforming is to be thankful to God, to realize what he's done in my life and make myself think about that. I mean, make myself, remind myself of the greatnesses that He has done in my life and focus on that. And as I start focusing and start thanking Him for little things, I see my heart start softening and my heart start changing. My heart hardens when I become less thankful because now I'm focused on myself. And as I start becoming thankful, then my eyes start growing out. And when I start becoming thankful, here's the thing, then I start seeing more things to be thankful for. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Because as I become thankful, the walls start falling down, my heart starts softening, and then He starts showing me even more and greater things to be thankful for. So as I look at thanksgiving, I realize two things. That number one, it's worship. And number two, it's power over sin. Power over sin. We're going to skip a few verses there. Moving on. as we get ready to move on and start seeing how that we're to apply Thanksgiving and seeing how Thanksgiving is applied through Scripture. And really, it's a beautiful journey that I went through as a, just studying Scripture and start seeing what Scripture says about Thanksgiving. It really is a beautiful thing. But I want us, before we transfer to that, I want us in our minds to get this kind of situated and stuck. Look, the reason that we struggle with Thanksgiving is because we're myopic. We're focused on what we want. And that's just, you know, and you might look and say, well, I'm a thankful person. Okay. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but all of us struggle with Thanksgiving. That's nature to all of us, but yet the nature of sin is that we can't see where we sin. So we open up Scripture and we read Scripture so that we can see it even more. But I want you to first understand is that the reason we struggle with being thankful, the reason we struggle with seeing what God is doing in our life and grumbling and not being content is because I'm looking myopically. And I need to start being thankful. And when I become thankful, then that helps me to see what God is doing in my life and so that I can even be more thankful. Does that make sense? So we need to make an effort to choose to start being thankful to God. And as we do that, then God will give us the power to see His greatness so that we can even be more thankful. Amen? All right, now let's look at thankfulness of God applied. And to be honest, these are amazing to me. I understand there's about 58 points that we're going to go through. There's really not 58. There's only 56. But but it really, it's just amazing. And I did actually cut some down. You might think that's hard to believe, but it was just something that has really struck me. And I hope strikes you as well. I mean, none of us are perfect in any area. And I just see a need for myself to force my mind to see God's greatness, to see His hand. I mean, it's to be honest, it's caused me to be more thankful with people around me. But that's not really the point. That's just a byproduct. Really, the point is I need to be more thankful for what God is doing. And that is the job that we're looking at, how to do that. Well, here's what thankfulness looks like, or thankfulness applied. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is thankful. This is a model of Paul's thankfulness. He's thankful for what God has done in the church. Now, this isn't just one model. I mean, obviously, in most of Pauline epistles, he opens the book in the same way. We find that in 1 Corinthians. We find it in Philippians. Find it in Colossians, Thessalonians, Philemon, even Ephesians to a certain degree. He opens up kind of the same way. And in Romans 1, he talks about, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Must be a Texan, huh? Oh, sorry. For y'all, because your faith is being proclaimed through the entire world. What Paul is saying is this. It says, look, I'm to a certain degree forcing myself to make sure that I see that you are a byproduct of what God is doing in my life. You're a byproduct of that. You're a blessing. You're an encouragement to me. And this is what God is doing. And he's saying, look, I realize that God has called you and He has put you there. And God has given you the ability to obey, and God has given you the ability to change, and that change is being noticed by everybody else. And says, I recognize that as being the hand of God, and I'm excited about that. Now, let's take that in conjunction to the way that we sometimes feel about church. Sometimes, right, we have a feeling about church like, man, you know, why aren't people working harder in the church? Why, you know, shouldn't they be doing this and this person isn't doing that? And we find ourselves grumbling and complaining because we think from our myopic view of what is right This is what should be happening. But then when we're able to see thanksgiving, we're able to really see from God's perspective, see there's far more greater things going on. I mean, we need to celebrate that there's people in these pews that believe and love Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to celebrate that. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. That there are believers in this world is a miracle. That there's believers in this country is a miracle. That there's believers in this city is a miracle. And that there's believers enough to come to this, to sit in this church is a miracle. It's something that God has blessed this world with, and we need to be thankful for that. And that these believers are changing. These believers are growing. Now, not at maybe the rate I want or maybe the rate you want, but that mirror would be pretty indicting if we turned that on ourselves too, wouldn't it? Yes. So one thing is we see that thankfulness is something that helps us see really what God is doing and get a better perspective on it, even a better perspective on the church as well. Amen? We see thanksgiving not just modeled by Paul, but we also see Jesus modeling thanksgiving as well. Where are some of the ways, or where are some of the places that we see Jesus giving thanks? Can you think of any? The feeding of the 5,000, he gave thanks, right? Feeding of the 4,000, he gave thanks. And also at the Lord's table before they started, he did what? He thinks, why did he do that? I know we have kind of a debate in the church, you know, about blessing our food before we eat. Why did Jesus bless the food before he ate? Because he wanted to make sure him and everyone else understood that what he has was a gift from God, and he appreciated that. And that's something that we have to make ourselves do as well. Last night we had some friends over. And these are some friends that we knew from church, in between the church, or while we were in between churches. And we haven't seen them in a while. And we were thankful for them. Thankful for what? That God gave us people that loved us, encouraged us, and supported us while we were going through a tough time in our lives. And this was something that was important and special to us. We gave thanks for them. We gave thanks for the food. Now, I cooked brisket for it felt like 1,000 hours. It was 8 hours. And I wanted it to be perfect. And let me tell you, it was everything but perfect. The very ends of it was kind of like eating the bottom of my shoe. Little bit hard. The kids didn't complain. Nobody else did. But I knew that it wasn't right. But Jesus gave thanks. And as an example for us, we should give thanks our meal to understand that everything we have is a gift coming down from God. And I appreciate Larry explaining, or who was it, Larry or Greg? I don't know which one of them did that this morning, but they explained that everything that we have is a gift from God, and that's something that we need to remember, not just for Thanksgiving, but for sanctification in our lives. We need to remember that everything, that maybe we wanted, you know, a red car and we got a green car, but everything that we have is from God, and He only gives the best. And we know in Romans 8:28, what? That he causes the worst to turn out for the best, for his glory, for our benefit. So we can trust God and we can give him thanks. We see Paul doing that. We see Jesus doing that. We also see, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we also see being thankful to God, seeing that it is synonymous with salvation. This is an interesting passage. That the word giving thanks is synonymous with a believer. Do we not have that passage? Sorry. I can blame myself. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Got it. It says, for all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spread which is spreading to more and more people, may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. What is he saying there? He's saying that the giving of thanks is equivalent to a believer's. He's saying that I'm doing all this so more people might come to me. Who are these more people? The more people that are separated or classified as people who give thanks. See, I'm doing this that more people might come to me. Who are these more people? These are more people who give thanks. What does that mean? He says, as a believer, we should be set apart as a person who gives thanks. That's what we should be. That's who a believer should be. We should realize that even while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? I know I struggle. And I know you do as well, being thankful for certain things. But we need to force ourselves, make ourselves realize that God has done a lot. And as we make ourselves become thankful for what he's given us, our eyes are open, our heart is lifted, we start to grow spiritually, start to desire to love him even more and more. D, being thankful to God is a praise, or is praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips. So just making sure, emphasizing the fact that thanksgiving is praise. That it is the very thing that we should be doing. We should be reminding ourselves. Just a different angle at it. A different perspective of praise. We should be giving thanks. We should be giving thanks to God. And we'll see even more and more about how we're to be giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God is His will. It's His will. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is challenging and this is difficult. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, I'd have to tell you, in the 66 books of the Bible, there's not many places where it says, this is the will of God. And it does say that a few times around being thankful. So being thankful is the will of God. And there's not too many times or too many places in the Bible you can go to and you say, this is what I know that God wants me to do, right? I don't know about you. Do you ever get lost? We get lost a little bit. Say, you know, life is complex right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to jump or sit down, kick. You know, I'm lost. I'm not sure. And we can know in every situation, no matter what it is, what the will of God is in that situation, something that'll carry you through, that'll keep your mind focused on Him, that'll turn you away from sin, is to be thankful to Him. Now, in that, you might think, now wait a minute. Now, you might be going in your mind, if you're really smart, you probably already got there way before I have. You're looking and you're going, wait a minute. So you're saying I'm to be thankful for evil? No, not saying that at all. Evil is what? Evil. Evil is evil. Evil done to you, it's wrong, it's evil. We should not be thankful for evil that is done to you. If you look and you say, you know, this evil is done to me, that I'm to be thankful. No, not to be thankful for that. That's evil. What are we to be thankful for? Romans 8:28. That God can and will turn that evil to his glory and our good. Is that something to be thankful for? Absolutely. That's the truth. In every situation, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how bad it is to keep you from being myopic, from keep you from missing the greatness of God, all the greatness that God has for you, you have to make yourself, And this is a job, and it is hard to do, and it does not come easy, and it comes with a lot of failures. You make yourself, God, I know that evil was done to me, and that I understand. But I realize in the midst of that evil, you can cause all of that to turn out for the good. And we focus on that. And now all of a sudden our mind, our blinders come off, and we stop just seeing the, you know, selfishly from our perspective, you know, our own little world and the way that we think it should happen, and that we're angry at God for not doing this, that, and the other. And then we start seeing, oh yeah, there's a whole new world out there. And I can be thankful. I can have joy in my life in the midst of a very difficult question. Because this is the will of God, or a very difficult issue. Being thankful is the will of God. Being thankful is also, in F, point F, we've gone a long way, just almost there, bear with me. Getting to the end, I promise. Being thankful to God is how we're to live our life. Ephesians 5:15 is just kind of an amazing passage. Enjoy this. Is that being thankful is the way you should live your life. He says that therefore, be careful how you walk. Okay, so he's going to tell us how we should live our life. He says, verse 16, making the most of your time. The end of verse 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. The end of verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual psalms. Then in verse 20, listen to this. This is how we're to live our life. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way we are to live our lives. In every situation, no matter what it is, giving thanks to God. Not giving thanks for evil that is done, but giving thanks in the middle of the evil, that you realize and you see that, God, you are going to be glorified in this. I remember, as it was yesterday, and I've told you this story, but it's a kind of a pseudo-sweet story, I guess if that's true. I told y'all about one time Ryan being in the emergency room, intensive care, yada, 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 and I had to come home. Tamara stayed with him, and he was pretty young, and I had to come home to get some stuff. And when I got there, my job was to feed the hamster. And guess what I found? The hamster had gone to be with Jesus. That's funny, right? And I remember this as it was yesterday, I sat down on the bed and started laughing. Not that there was anything funny about this situation. There was absolutely nothing funny about the situation at all. I mean, you know, Ryan's sick. This is going to devastate him. He loved his hamster. But I sat there and I laughed because I said, this is the way you see life. Isn't that funny? I would have never planned life that way. Isn't that amazing about God? Look, he has this chess match going in such an amazing way. I don't know how the pieces are going to ever fit together, and I just assume they're not. But God loves me so much that everything that's happened is going to be for his will and my goodness. And I can trust that. So even with Rosie dying, you know, right in the middle of all of this, you know, you can't, you know, God, this is really the way you see life happening. And I can give thanks because I know that God is good and he's going to work all things to his glory. G, being thankful to God helps us understand what he has done for us. Here's another way of saying that. Being thankful to God helps me be thankful. Being thankful to God helps me be thankful. That's the power of being thankful. I mean, when you start becoming thankful, there's a joy that comes over you. I understand that. But also, when you start becoming thankful, you start seeing other things God is doing, and you see more of things to be thankful for. It's an amazing aspect of God. I've got two or three verses here that I'll share with you in light of that. So I'll kind of read them a little quickly. Lily, hopefully you can stay up with me. 1 Corinthians 15:57, good. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking at the fact that thanksgiving causes us to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because He considers me faithful, putting me into service. As I start looking for what God has done for me, as I start looking, that causes me to become even more thankful for what He's done. Now, at first, you might have to make yourself become thankful. You might say, you know, Pastor, I don't really have a lot of things to be thankful for. And guys, don't feel discouraged about that at all. That's okay. You may say, well, I've got some things, but you know, it's a short list. I can name them kind of on one hand. It's all right. Go into Scripture. Read Scripture. Find a few more things and add that to the list. And start just reminding yourself of these things. Where can you start? Start with the gospel. You know, start about who He has made you. He's made you a new creation. He's made you the righteousness of Christ. You know, start with the gospel and just start making yourself become thankful for that. Just start declaring those things. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. I really appreciate your love for me. And that is going to cause you to get your eyes off yourself in the narrowness of your mind and really start loving God. Start seeing His love for you. But it has to start with being thankful. And then lastly, we're going to kind of conclude with this. That being thankful helps you have power over sin. Being thankful kind of helps you have power over sin. Now, I know we've come a long ways through this journey of understanding thankful, and I'm sure it's a bit, you know, overwhelming as we look at all the different pieces. And I threw those in there just so you might see what Scripture is saying about thankfulness. That it is something that I think is understated. I know in theology it is understated. It's something that we need to spend more time on in our own practical lives, in our own theology, and even the things that are being written. We need to spend more time on this. So I just wanted to kind of give you a shotgun approach, and hopefully it wasn't too overwhelming. But I want to conclude with this. Being thankful to God helps us have power over sin. Being thankful to God helps us have power over sin. You say, what? I know. This is just what God's Word says. Ephesians 5, verse 4 says this, that there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse gesture, or which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. He's saying, look, I don't want you to speak with filthiness or coarse gestures or things that just aren't fitting for believers. I want you to watch your mouth and say, okay, fine. How do I do that? I'm not perfect. I slip. I do this. I do that. You know, I joke in a way that's not funny. I joke and, you know, I try to be silly and I end up putting people down. You know, how do I do this? He says, by being thankful. What? Yeah. Have an attitude of being thankful. Set your mind on Christ, on the things God has done, and that's going to change the words that are going to come out of your mouth. He said, how is that? Because if I am now thinking of the love of God, what is going to come out of my mouth? The love of God. If I'm thinking on myself, focused on that, that's what's going to come out of my mouth. So here's three things that Thanksgiving specifically can help us with. Number one, that it helps us not become a victim or realize we're not a victim, that victim mentality. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It says, in order for us to make sure that we're not a victim, give thanks for that. Give thanks for what evil people have done for you. Not the evil that's done, but that God is going to use that evil. How does that keep us from being a victim? Because I know that that doesn't define me, right? This was done to me. That I'm not defined by this incident. I'm not defined by that situation. I'm not defined by those circumstances. I'm defined by whom? Christ Jesus. I'm defined by Christ. And that's exactly who I'm defined by absolutely nothing else. Secondly, it helps us when we're hurt by someone, when someone hurts us, it helps us. And this going back to Romans 8:28, I would say that this is probably a top five verse you should have memorized. If you get a chance, if you're working on verses, I would say Romans 8:28 would probably be, at least in my list, of a top five Proverbs, what is it? Seek ye first kingdom of God. With Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Matthew 18, or Matthew 6, 33, 34, and then this one would probably be my top three. But I like this passage, Romans 8:28. It says, "For we know that that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, according to His plan." When someone hurts you, when things happen to you by other people, we can forgive them. Why can we forgive them? Because we know that it doesn't define us. That God is going to work in the midst of these trials, and He is going to cause something good to happen through that. So I can forgive. I can let go. And then lastly, helps me stop worrying. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." How do we have God guard our heart and mind so that we can have peace? By praying, giving everything to God, and by being thankful. Being thankful is really a missing link in our sanctification. It's an aspect that God has given us that will cause us to find joy in our lives, will cause us to find power over our sin. It is a great, amazing thing, but yet I struggle with it so much. I don't know about you, but I know I do. Why is that? Because I'm focused on my stuff. I'm focused on me, and therefore I lose track of what God's doing. How do I change that? By reminding myself and focusing on the things that He's already done. Just have a list. Make a list. A list every day, every morning. You know, what are the things you're thankful for? I mean, you can be thankful for your family, you can be thankful for the country. Obviously, those are great. There's nothing wrong with that. But what are you thankful for spiritually with relation to God? I mean, and that is going to change everything. Spend some time and start creating that list. You know, I'm thankful that God's done this in my life. I'm thankful for that, and I appreciate this, and start allowing that list to grow. And every morning, remind yourselves of the things that God has done for us to be thankful for. And when you do that, I think what we'll all find, when I do that, I think what we'll all find is that just by reminding ourselves of what God has done and is doing in our lives, causes our mind to not think as much about self and to realize how big and loving of a God He truly is. And then causing us to be endeared and love Him even more. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for today, and we thank you for just an opportunity to be thankful. Lord, not just for this country, not just for this church, not just for food, but Lord, to be thankful more honestly for just who you are, what you've done in our lives, the fact that you love us, the fact that you, even while we were yet sinners, you died for us, you justified us, you made us the righteousness of Christ. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I can rest on that, and I can find encouragement in that. And that will build me up and strengthen me in you. Father, pray, help us be more thankful for what you've done in our lives. Give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.